Hi, I'm Jim Bakeguy. Welcome to my podcast, Be You. The world will adjust. So I've got a hodgepodge of things I want to talk about today. You know, it's funny when you're doing these podcasts, you're looking on a weekly basis, particularly with what we're all going through, sort of like, what's the theme? What am I going to talk about this week? What is it that I can talk about and give back to people that will help them either enhance their thinking about their own lives or somehow get them over a hurdle or somehow just give them a breakthrough that possibly they need? So my first observation is I am truly gobsmacked at the speed at which companies are announcing not just partial work at home programs, but people like Twitter, Facebook, so many other companies have joined the chorus of, we're not bringing people back to the office, period. Like, it's not about the coronavirus, period. Everybody can work from home. And I say to myself, wow, like, I mean, and we're talking like 8 weeks ago, folks, not, you know, not like people have been sitting around thinking about this. And I'm not exactly sure everybody's thought about all the ramifications, but I think it's going to be a live and learn type of thing. I don't think we'll ever end up everybody from home. Who knows? I could be wrong. But people need something to hold on to. People need an identity. They need to feel like they're part of something. I think especially the older generation. I think the millennials, probably not so much, because I think they all have a basic distrust of corporations and organizations to start with, probably rightly so. But the older generation, you know, people in their 50s, people, you know, in their 60s, people in maybe even late 40s, their world is there, right? And they like the separation of space. They like not being on top of their family and kids all day. And the family and kids probably prefer not to have mom or dad there all day long as well. And the impact on the whole family sort of dynamics. I know that in my own family, and we've moved up to the cottage to work from here and live from here, we need to separate in the place. We need to find space for ourselves. You know, it's counter to what historically we've done, which is we've all gone out during the day, and then we've all come back and aggregated and congregated and share our lives during the day. And so now that we're not all going out, we need to go somewhere, to some part of the house, to out of the house, to somewhere, because, you know, spending all day long with someone 24/7, you have nothing to add and you feel stale. Like, you feel like nothing happened in your life. And so I think that, you know, what's kind of happening is people's story sharing is about articles that they're reading or videos that they're watching. And there's been a huge uptick in distribution of information across the board. So if everybody's going to be at home, it's going to be, you know, I can sense it in people. And you know, as you know, I coach a lot of people in organizations and out of organizations. And we keep going through these phases. And the first phase was like, hey, wow, it's kind of different and everything else. And the second phase was the realization that we may not go back for a while. So this is not temporary. This could be somewhat semi-permanent. And now we're moving to the phase where this could be really permanent. As I talked about last week, how do I create my office? What do I need? And things like that. I have a candidate in who's interviewing, and the entire executive committee is interviewing him through the Zoom call. So how do I now develop those senses that I had on a physical basis? You know, and I'm sure if you've ever interviewed anybody or been interviewed, you know there's a chemistry, a presence in the room when you're sitting across from each other, and body language and all kinds of things like that, your natural biases and your natural tendencies to like and dislike sort of come from that chemistry going back and forth. But now when you're doing it on a Zoom call, you're basically seeing the person from shoulder up, and you got this massive head on the screen. How does that change? Does that Does that enable you to sort of focus more on what they're saying? I think it'll be an interesting exercise of learning to interview. I'm sure somebody on LinkedIn will post something about how to interview better through video conferencing. So one of the things that I was thinking, I was actually playing golf on the weekend and my wife was riding along with me and I asked her to video one of my swings. Okay, for those of you that are watching me swing, you know that can't be a particularly pretty video. But the reason is because, you know, as you may or may not know, I'm a perpetual learner. I always want to learn. I want to try things. I want to adjust. I want to be able to see myself in different situations. I want to understand myself better. The whole premise of my coaching practice, you know, be true to yourself, understand yourself. So anyway, so I asked her to video my golf swing. And it, I got to tell you, you know, a lot of moving parts, but it looked pretty good right up to a certain point. And I had this little hitch. You know, we were talking about it and I said, what is that video? So what am I getting out of that video? And my wife said to me, well, what if people could video their work at home life and see how that looks against their home life, their work life? And I said, that's a great idea. If you could do that, imagine if you could video your day working at home and then imaginary wise, because you're not videoing your day at the office, but sort of imagine videoing yourself at the office. What does that day look like? And sort of juxtapose those two against each other. You know, are you actually more efficient at home or do you get a bit lazy, right? I recently heard a story about people showing up for senior meetings late and with glasses of wine and scotch at the meeting. And I said to myself, really? I can't imagine doing that at the office. I could just see it now. Could you imagine barking at your assistant? Get me a double, a 40-year-old McCallum scotch. I'm on my way to a technology meeting. And it could be quite a while, so I may need you to bring me a second one. Well, while that may sound funny, it's actually not. It's as ridiculous as showing up at the office in that situation. So I think we need to think about this a little more and sort of bring the two worlds. They've sort of gone to opposite end of the spectrum. You know, people don't get dressed. People sit there in their house coat, pajamas, all kinds of things like that. And those worlds, you know, are so far apart currently, but as we actually become more permanent in this state, those worlds have to come back together, not identically, because that's not possible to come back identically, but they've got to start to move back to more semblance of order and consistency and respect for the fact that we are working. The fact that we're working from home, we are working. And there's a professionalism and a responsibility to not only appear, but to do your job and to do all of those types of things and be responsible. And responsibility is, you know, beyond just getting the work done, but it's being part of the community and everything else. So I really need you to sort of think about that, right? Like, what is my world look like at home, and what does my world look like back at the office, and what are the things that I need to sort of bring them back a little closer together? And then sort of on top of that is, what will culture, what is culture in the future? How will we define an organization's culture? You know, it's always been rah-rah around physical contact, physical interaction, walking down to somebody's office, big meetings, lots of people. Hey, Bill, Mary, how you doing? How was your weekend? Stuff like that. You know, all the little things that we've taken for granted forever, right? But they sort of build a culture and, you know, seeing everybody at the soccer field with your kids or at the hockey game or at the baseball game or these types of things. And they're all sort of cultural builders. They're all connectors. Well, we're going to have to reestablish those. We're going to have to think about how those are different. And it's going to be hard work. And it's going to take a lot of initiative, right? Because it's awfully easy to become a hermit. Awfully easy to spend time with your family or a couple of close friends. And because, you know, the big social affairs aren't on right now. They may come back and probably will. But the big charity functions and all kinds of things where we got all of our social and personal interactions are gone. So if you run a team, or even if you're an individual, you should think about it and you should suggest to people, and you should tell people what you're missing, right? You should tell your boss, listen, this is what I'm sort of missing and from work, you know. And I just got off the phone this morning with an individual that I coach, and he coaches a sales team. And he says, you know, my team's getting a little stale and it's getting harder and harder for them. He said, by the way, we're doing more business than we've ever done. But, you know, keeping them motivated is getting more and more difficult. And so he said, you know, like, what is it that I should be doing? And I said, I have no clue. And he goes, what? And I said, well, I have no clue. I said, nobody knows what they should be doing. I said, we're in a world of self-motivation. There's no peer group pressure to motivate you. There's no fear of failure in people's eyes, you know, and we're all needing to be self-motivated. It's like my philosophy in life. We should all be responsible for our own happiness. We shouldn't rely on other people for their happiness. It's up to us to be happy. It's up to us to be motivated. And that motivation requires even more focus and attention when we're at home and we're by ourselves. And it's just as easy to not make the call, you know? It's a little different when you're sitting on a sales desk in an organization on a trading floor and the guy beside you can't sit there for an hour and just kind of, you know, flip through the newspaper, kind of watch things. People are going, hey, you got to make some calls here. You know, like you got to get this thing going. So I said to my client, I said, why don't you ask them? What are they missing? What's not happening for them, right? I think this is going to have to be really important. Organizations are going to have to listen to the people that work in their organization, not tell them what they think they should be doing or how they should be doing it. They're going to need to listen. It's going to be profound, and it's going to be important to understand how people feel about working from home. So if you're an individual, again, tell your boss, you know, this is what I'm missing. You know, this is what's not working for me, because, you know, the triangulation of all that information will come up with the answers and the solutions. And for corporations, got to stay connected to the people. Like, how's it working for you? You know, what are the good things about it? What are the things that aren't working? And what are the things that you're having great difficulty, whether it's motivation or whatever it is, right? Or I missed this or I missed that. That's the next step in this whole process. So one of the things that came to me, which was wild, and I was talking to my son, and he's talking about, and he's in sales. He works from home always, but his wife works for an institution. And my daughter and my other son in law, and they're going to come up and stay at the cottage. And we've got enough room that they can all have their own room and they can work from here. And then I went, wait a second here. Hang on a second. You could work from anywhere. Think about the possibilities that working from home creates. You could live at the cottage. You could spend the summer in Canada, winter in Florida or Arizona. You could live overseas. The possibilities are endless. No longer have a ball and chain weighing you down to hold you to a geographic boundary to where you work. Where would you want to live if you didn't have geography holding you back? But remember, wherever it is, you need to be disciplined in your work ethic. Truth be told, sitting in one place for all your meetings does enable you to accomplish more by not wasting traveling time back and forth to meetings or other office buildings. But the fact that you could live anywhere, I hadn't really thought about it, to tell you the truth. It's sort of come on to me lately is, well, if I can live anywhere, then doesn't that also, the reverse of that, mean I can apply for a job anywhere? So I can apply to companies. I could apply to Facebook in the U.S. or vice versa in Canada and work for those companies, regardless of where I am. So the mobility of the workforce, the mobility of the opportunities has just immensely changed. And so whereas when the unemployment numbers start to grow and have grown, people are like, oh, I got to move out of Toronto, or I got to move out of Montreal, or I got to move out of Vancouver. There's no opportunities here. I got to go to Toronto. I got to go here. I got to go there. You don't have to go anywhere anymore. And as organizations start to realize on the other side that their talent pool just grew exponentially because geography is no longer a boundary, it's going to change the way we think about ourselves and we think about jobs. My son, Ed, works for a company out of Vancouver. Last couple of companies have been out of Vancouver. He works in Toronto. Go out there once a year for the annual Purlew and Stomp. And the rest of the time, it's all video conferencing. So this is the opportunity to dream. This is the opportunity to really let your thoughts go, right? Like, don't be bound by any sort of historical thinking about what is work and how does work manifest itself in my life. I guess theoretically, if you wanted to go on a sailing trip around the world, you could even do that. That's taking it to the full extreme. But if you took your kids and you homeschool them, because homeschooling, people are getting used to homeschooling, and you sat on the boat and you had great satellite reception, you could probably do your day and so on and so on. So while on one hand, this is, as I always say, has been horrendous, on the other hand, the possibilities for our lives to be different and for the quality to improve are endless. And they're really only bound by our own imagination. And so the truth will set you free, as they say, and your creativity and your thinking as broadly as possible will put you into the next phase of this life and opportunities that you could never have imagined. Nobody could have ever imagined, but they'll be there. And every week and every day, I know more this week than I did last week by leaps and bounds. Not by a little bit, but by leaps and bounds. Things that I'm talking about today weren't even on my radar screen a week ago. Things that I'll talk about next week, I'll have learned, will have developed. There'll be more companies. There'll be more real estate people telling us how real estate's not a problem, even though how can it not be a problem if all these people are not working? What is the future of New York City? What is the future of downtown Toronto? What's the future of different places? There's a study I read this morning from people who live in San Francisco, one of the highest expense places in the world to live for rent and purchasing real estate. If I don't have to go to the office, I wouldn't live in San Francisco. So my question for you for the week is, if you don't have to go to the office and you could work from anywhere, where would that be? Where would you work from? Good luck, everybody. I look forward to talking to you next week. I'm Jim Bakiai. Be you, the world will adjust.